Most of us have the idea that the sun is always going to be up there, and that the moon will probably always be up there. And if you ever have a chance to look at the starry skies, say when if you're out west where there's no streetlights or anything like that, then and imagine that all of these stars, we just figure they're always going to be there. It's like the redwoods, you know, some of them have been around since the time of Christ, 2,000 years plus. So we just kind of take for granted that these things are going to be there. We all take for granted that, say, the earth on which we stand is very firm. So if we're in a building and don't feel comfortable there, we go out to stand outside where the ground is firm, or at least we think it is, until you experience an earthquake, as I did once in my life and hope the last time. Or as the people in Alaska are experiencing right now, they find out that the earth really is not all that steady, that it can be very, very shaky. But Jesus said all of these things are going to change, you know? All of that's going to change. We kind of say, well, then what is really stable? And he said, I am. I am the one that you need to center on. I'm the one that is always there, has always been there, has put all of these other things in place, and will continue to be there for all time. And what I need for you to do is to trust me, to know that I come to do good for people, to bring forgiveness to people, to bring peace to people, to bring goodness to our world. That's what I come to do. And you have to believe that I am the one that can make things happen. So if you have me as the fixed point in your life, you're going to be all right. He said, then when all of these things begin to fall apart, he said, all you have to do is stand up and look at me and know that you're going to be all right. So we kind of lose sight of that. Say, and especially this Advent season, it's really a good time for the church to call us together and just make us think a little bit. What are we really coming together to celebrate? You know, we get very absorbed in all the preparations for the coming Feast of Christmas, which is wonderful. It helps to build up spirit, hopefully. But if they become the end in themselves and we forget all about Christ in the process, then we're missing something. What we are celebrating is the coming of Christ among us, and for his renewed coming within our own lives, within our personal lives, in a stronger, hopefully, maybe a more focused and more centered way for us. And we remember sometimes what he promises to us. He promised that when he came to the world, he didn't come to bring problems. He came to bring peace. He came to bring joy to the world. He came to bring goodness to the world. He came to bring all of these things that where people really care and help each other, where the world really should not be divided so terribly as it is, but that we should all be working toward one common goal. Out of love for one another and love for our God, we try to make the world a beautiful, joyful, peaceful, happy place. And so, unfortunately, when Jesus comes and when he makes all of these promises and when he offers all these opportunities, he always invites. You know, it's like you get all these invitations to things. You know, some you choose to come to and celebrate, some you choose not to. It's pretty much your own choice. And Jesus does the same thing. He invites us to join him in this mission that he has come to present to the world. And he said, I would like for you to join in this. And a lot of us believe in that. And we say, yes, I'd be very happy to. And then when things don't happen, when the world doesn't get any more peaceful, when people suffer so much because of rejection and hatreds and prejudices, we kind of say, well, Lord, where are you? It's kind of like we're waiting around for him to start something, to do something. Well, he did start it. He started a long time ago. And then he said, I invite you to join me. Unfortunately, we seem so often to be sitting by and waiting for him to come and do something. And then we feel like we can join him. He said, no, he said, I already was here. I started this. It's all started already. I gave it to you. Remember when he ascended into heaven? He said to the apostles, now, you go. You go into all of the world and bring this good news. You make it happen. So we were part of that invitation. We're a couple thousand years from the apostles, but with the same invitation is extended to us, and we've accepted that, the fact that we're Christians, the fact that we said, I believe in Jesus Christ. We've accepted that. But unfortunately, I think too many times we just kind of sit back and say, well, I wonder when this is going to happen. What ain't going to just happen. We make it happen. So Christ says to us, go into the whole world. Your job is to bring the message to the world. That's what we bought into when we said, I accept you, I believe in you, I will be baptized. That's what we bought into. So sometimes when we look at our world and say, well, there's less peace in the world now than there was 20 years ago or 50 years ago. It's probably true. There seems to be less love in the world than there was 50 years ago. There seems to be a lot more hatred, a lot more real deep hatred of races, of colors, of peoples, of nationalities, of all of this. It just seems to be such an increased amount of that all the time. You get the sense sometimes that the whole world is split. Everybody's going their own direction, and they don't care about anybody else in the process. And Jesus said, I taught you a way. I gave you a way. It starts with each individual. It starts with each one of us. Accepting this Christ and what he said to us, what he taught to us, and making it work in my own life. Which means, he said, first of all, you must love your God. Love him above everything else. He has to be the most important, more important than you are yourself. Sometimes it's hard for us to get through our heads. But he said, first of all, that's the important part. You have to love God above all. And then I want you to love your neighbor as you love your God and as you love yourself. It doesn't mean that you have to go hug everybody on the face of the earth. That could get pretty tough. But it does mean that we want and do what we can to bring good to that person's life. So it starts with us. And then it extends immediately to those around us. Extends to our families, to our neighbors, to our friends. Ultimately, it should extend to everywhere we go. If we're conscious of the fact, we're mindful of the fact that this same Christ, the same God, through his Spirit, dwells in each one of us. So that wherever we are, there is a presence of God there because we are there. It means we have to recognize and accept the fact that God chose to dwell in me, and that I accept that, and I honor that by the way I live my life. If I do that no matter where I am, if I'm shopping at Publix or wherever it may be, at Bravo's or whoever we go to, I bring the presence of God to that place, which means that every person I see in that place, I'm supposed to want good for. I love that person. I want good for that person. When you're driving on all the roads around Central Florida, you know, we all know how stupid and crazy that gets. And somehow or another, we still have to say, You know, the presence of God requires that I bring good to this situation, that I be patient, that I be understanding, that I back off, that I know when to be to act prudently and choose prudently. I'm supposed to bring that to this world. So in all things, whatever it may be, if I'm in the classroom and everybody in the classroom decides that they're going to go have a pot party afterward, and I know it's not healthy, I know it's not good, I'm supposed to be the person who wants the good for them and says, I really don't think it's a good idea. We're the ones that are supposed to make things happen. Unfortunately, as I mentioned, we tend to sit back and say, well, yeah, Lord, I signed up for this. When are we going to do something? And I think Christ is probably saying for 2,000 years, when are you going to do something? When are you going to act? I've given you everything you need to make good things happen. You know, we have extraordinary power. We don't always realize that. We don't accept it. But we have extraordinary power because God chooses to send His Spirit to dwell in us. We can transform things. We can transform our own lives. We can transform our world. We can bring peace to this world. But we've got to work together and do something. We can't just let somebody else say, well, that's what they decided in Washington, or that's what they decided in Tallahassee, or that's what they decided at Orange County, or whatever it may be. We've got to do something. We have to take initiative. We have to act. We have to realize that this mission that Jesus gave to us, to the apostles and to us, requires not only accepting the invitation, but acting on it. Taking the things that Christ has taught us, that He's shown us by His life, by His example, and beginning to work on that in our own lives. We're not going to change the world in a day. Wish you could, but we can't. But we can begin the process by beginning with ourselves. So all of these things that we maybe think are the most stable things in our lives, maybe it's money, maybe it's power, maybe it's whatever it may be that is our sun and moon and our stars, whatever that may be, that all has to be kind of set aside. There's a place for it. It doesn't mean that that's all evil stuff at all. It's not evil unless it's used badly. And what we need to do is to make sure that Christ is a center, that we follow His lead, and that we act on the invitation that we have accepted.